Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. Thanks for joining us. My name is Clint Kaler, sitting here with my co-host, Mitch Clay. How are you doing today, Mitch?
I am mighty fine. Thank you for asking.
You know, we just had our first online leadership session, and that was a kind of a webinar style session that we did live with people from different places in the United States that have kind of come in around us and been hungry to dive into this subject of leading kingdom of God in the earth. Mitch, I think it was a very powerful time. We had some incredible feedback. It was so full of revelation. Like, there were some things that we said on that webinar that I have never really heard anybody else say. And I could kind of sense that back from people that, man, there was some real gold kind of being dug up here, so to speak. So that was a powerful time. And we're so thankful for everybody that jumped on that and had a great group, great attitudes, hungry people, hungry hearts. It was really easy, wasn't it?
It was very easy. I didn't know how it would go. It's kind of my first experience or something like that. It was good. And I think a lot of the same things you just said, but one of the things too, for me, was just how necessary to have this conversation. And then also the beautiful thing is that the community would be developed around that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, gold is valuable because it's rare. I think that some of the things that we're touching on are rare. And if maybe they're not so much rare, but it's rare to be able to kind of coalesce in a community around the topic. You know what I mean? It's wonderful. Technology is a wonderful thing to join us together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and two, the emphasis is also on what is Holy Spirit saying and doing in the earth right now. So mixed with the revelation that we brought out of the kingdom together with God, this is what he's doing right now.
Right.
It's very empowering.
Right.
And that's
right.
Really the secret sauce to me, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the things that we never can forget is the power of the rhema word, that now word, that inspired word. And that's the place where faith comes, you know. That's at Romans 10:17. And so when we continue to listen for that and capture that and then celebrate it, that's the place where life is. That's a place where there's faith, inspiration, and really that's what you're saying. What is Holy Spirit saying right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Not what he did say, not old bread, but fresh bread, daily bread.
It was fresh bread. And if you're interested, you're listening to this and you're interested on getting in on the next online leadership session for Lead the Kingdom, all you have to do is go to leadthekingdom.com and enter your email, and then we'll send you the link the week of the event. Love to have you.
Amen.
So today we're going to put a subject out here on the table that was brought up during kind of our QA time of our leadership session. And this subject is on authority in the kingdom. The person that asked this question was saying, you know, how does this work? Because we see things modeled, but they're really seeking, well, what does this look like in the kingdom context? So today, it's going to be very powerful.
Let me just begin. When you hear the word authority, which is an important word when you're talking about kingdom, because, you know, I believe that the kingdom's all about authority. It's where the king is in dominion. So when you think about the word authority, the first thing is, okay, we have all sorts of concepts in our mind. But then we also have to remember, how do we apply that concept, whatever that thing is in our mind that we have. And so as I began to prepare a little bit to talk about this topic that was brought up to us, I began to write down a few, if you will, applications or a few points here about authority, just qualifying so we can focus in on one place.
Yeah.
So one point of authority would be leadership. So when you think of, for example, who's in authority here? Who's in charge here? What you're saying is who's in leadership here, or who's the boss? Who's the one in calling the shots, if you will, whatever, okay? So that's one thing, okay? Another thing is when you think of authority, then you think of the the demonstration of it, or the manifestation of it, or the application of this authority of the king being in dominion. And so in this application, I'm thinking about the supernatural. I'm thinking about casting out demons, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about taking the authority of the name of Jesus and, you know, and applying that, using that. So that's another way to think or approach this topic, authority.
Right.
Okay, so sending. This is the word, you know, apostello, which means one sent with a message. So in the sending, there's always a corresponding authority or authorization to do what you've been sent to accomplish.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's another component, if you will, or another expression of authority. Then, of course, all authority is delegated. All authority is delegated.
Yeah,
it comes from somewhere.
Right.
Okay? And again, these are just hot points here. And then the last one that I've noted here is that some authority is just positional. In other words, because we're raised up with Christ and seated together with him in heavenly places, because of our positioning in Christ, we have authority that corresponds to the position that we're in. And so those are some general thoughts. But today, I'm excited to hear what's in Clint's heart concerning the first one that I mentioned about leadership.
Right.
About leadership.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of this story in the Bible where it talks about the apostles bickering with each other about who's going to be the greatest.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Jesus, if these were our kids, you know, we've got some 4 and 5 year olds, you know, arguing who's going to be the greatest, you know,
yeah.
You're going to give them a SWAT and send them to the room or whatever. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't even say, you know, listen, you can't be great in the kingdom. He wasn't saying that at all. But he said something interesting. He said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you must become the servant of all.
Right.
And so I think a lot of our conversation is going to kind of wrap around this idea of the word servant as far as a leader. And, you know, I think maybe a good place to start would be just to start talking about this word servant, because this word does not carry a connotation of a world changer. This word has kind of been stripped of its meaning. We think of Jesus, we think of the Son of God crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, and all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth, and he came to serve. But when we say the word serve, I'm not sure that we necessarily carry over that same empowerment. So I would even like just to have a little back and forth here, Mitch, about this word servant, because if Jesus said to his disciples who are arguing about who's going to be the greatest, he actually answered the question. He said, you must become the lowest. Well, what does that really mean? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind when someone says I'm going to be the lowest means I'm going to do the least. I'm going to say the least. In fact, I'm going to become invisible. That must be the lowliest place, the lowest place I can go. Nobody notices me. The world goes on. I am a holy servant of the Lord because everything just goes right over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Quite literally.
And we think of that as being humble, you know, humble, and then meek, and then weak. And those things are completely not connected. That's improper thinking right there.
It really is. So if Jesus is actually going to respond to this incredibly powerful idea of becoming great in the kingdom by saying servant, I think we have to peel this back and unpack it and say, what in the world is he talking about here?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about people who are going to lead in the kingdom and become great people, not in the sense of the world, but in the sense of heaven's perspective. What does greatness look like from heaven's perspective? Well, it's already been modeled. It's Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
He is our model. So then I started thinking, well, how do we start becoming like Jesus, actually, you know? And for my own life, I start thinking about how can I begin to get every particle of my being underneath his lordship.
Mm.
So you talked about a positional thing. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and all these truths are imperative for us to assimilate and to begin to understand. But we have to kind of take another look at this word servant as far as becoming great in the kingdom. And in fact, this is the only way to be great. And in fact, we are to be great in the kingdom. So in John, we have three different verses in John 5, John 8, and John 12. Jesus is talking about coming to the earth, but not of my own initiative.
Right.
And so a lot of times you see people leading, man, they have appointed themselves into a place of leadership. There could be many reasons for this, but if they're self-appointed, usually the thing is that they have a set of preferences that are very important to them around what they're doing, how they're leading, and then they're going to use an atmosphere of control to keep those things enforced.
Right.
And so we see that to varying degrees in different places and different local ministries, congregations. I mean, we've all seen stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everybody's going, uh-huh. They'll listen to this and look, yep, I knew that. Saw right through that thing. So then we have to kind of begin. Those guys, you know, we're not going to talk about those guys anymore, but we are going to talk to you. How can you and I not make that same mistake with our life? How can we begin to actually lead in a healthy way that doesn't make us feel shameful for doing it?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
You say leadership and all of a sudden people start dealing with shame. Because they feel like they're not humble, they feel like they're being arrogant or whatever. So I want to read a scripture here. It's John 12:49. Jesus said, "For I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and instructed me what to say." So even Jesus, who is, I mean, he is the King of Kings. He came in the form of a servant as a model for us, that we could begin to step into his life and begin to imitate him, and not only imitate, but become one with him and what he's doing in the kingdom. So as far as authority goes, how then, as disciples, as sons of God, daughters of God, how do we then begin to step into an authority, even if we're not leading a group, a local church, or a ministry?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is an authority here. And this authority, I think for me, it's number one, stems from lordship. So when people say lordship, they a lot of times are going to start thinking about, what did I do wrong? Lordship is about Jesus cracked the whip and I have to obey. I have to obey every little jot and tittle. Well, obedience is critical, obviously.
Right, sure it is.
But to me, when we start talking lordship, a transformational lordship, I have to begin to look at it this way. If I have a thought in my mind that he doesn't have about me, I'm not under his lordship.
Mm.
If I believe something about myself that he doesn't believe about me, I'm not under his lordship.
Even
if I obey critically every little point, but if I'm believing about myself in a different way than he does, then I am not under the lordship of Christ. But if I can begin to submit everything under him, like every word from my mouth, every thought from my mind, every action from my body, every emotion, my personality begins to come under the lordship of Christ, then what happens is a transformation at a deep level. My life begins to resonate with his, and there's a transformation into his image. And when we hear powerful people, wow, powerful speakers, they get on the stage and even just walk on the stage sometimes, you feel it hit the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is because Jesus came in with them.
Yeah. That is so great. I love so much everything that you're saying. Things are just going off in me like fireworks. Right then, the last thing you were saying brings me to an idea, understanding that God has given me out of Matthew chapter 10, where he says, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father. And if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. And there's been so many different things preached out of that deal. But basically what the message that's beginning to be communicated there is this. The word confess is a compound Greek word, homologia. Homo meaning the same, and then logia meaning word. In other words, say the same word. Okay, so then as we kind of keep extrapolating that out and think about it, it doesn't mean just to say the same thing. Because even a parrot can say the same thing, but the parrot only is mimicking the sounds. But the real crux of the word is that your heart becomes one with the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
And your mind becomes one with the heart of the Lord. And your intentions, your motivations, you know, the reasons why you're saying what you're saying is coming from a place of unitedness and union with the Lord. And that's what submission is.
Yeah.
Submission means that you bring everything subject to him. You know, I'm thinking 1 Corinthians chapter 10 now. I think it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Talking about bringing every thought subject to the Lord.
Yeah.
Laying it at his feet. Pulling down, you know, strongholds and those thoughts that exalt himself against him. So this is about submission. And so the end of this, Matthew 10, just to drop this thought there, if they receive you, they receive me. And see, this is so incredibly powerful because what's happening is when you go through this process of becoming one with the Lord, and you become one with the Lord as you submit to the Lord and to his revealed will, and his revealed desires, then the Bible says there, it's the teaching there is, the end of this process is, when they receive you, they receive me.
Right.
You talk about an expression of authority, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
When we talk about the servant being the heart of a worshiper, we begin to understand that not only is a servant great in the kingdom, but it's the only way the kingdom is going to be released in the earth through the servant. So we have to be real careful when we appoint ourselves in a place of leadership, you know, because we're thinking we're doing, quote unquote, the work of the ministry, but the kingdom is not at hand for that guy.
That's right. That's right. The thing that we need to be careful about is so many times when we speak about leadership, we speak about being the overseer or so forth of a work or an assignment that God has given us, it's so easy to go default into the worldly system, into the ways of the world. And this is what you were alluding to, you know, the Isaiah scripture where it says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so forth. Mm-hmm. And so when we go to the worldly ways, it sometimes can be very comfortable for us because that's what we've seen modeled. That's what we've seen work, if you will. That's the way corporations work. That's the way other organizations work. And so so much of what's being taught in the quote-unquote church is these worldly models that simply are not able to shoulder the authority of the kingdom of God. It won't allow the kingdom of God to be expressed properly because there's limitations, because it's honestly, it's man-made.
Yeah.
And Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 20, in that same passage you were quoting earlier, but he said to those guys that were trying to say, I want to be on the left, oh, I want to be on the right, all that different thing. And so one of the verses, verse 25, Matthew 20, 25, Jesus said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, for whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, be your servant. And so in the Gentile world, in the worldly world way, if you will, leadership is a top-down deal.
Right.
It's a dominion. It's a dominate. I take my authority and I use that authority to get you to do what I want you to do.
Right.
And Jesus is saying, that's how it is in the Gentiles. That's how the princes of the Gentile, that's how the rulers of the Gentiles get those things done. But in my kingdom, it doesn't work like that at all.
Right, right. We can get so wrapped up in what we feel like is important that we start, you know, I always think of this example with Saul that became the Apostle Paul. He got a revelation about the church and he started killing people with it.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. If we get a quote unquote revelation, only it's a really heavy preference laced agenda that we call kingdom or that we call our pet peeve, man, we can start killing people with that thing. And here's why. Right now, there is armies of servant hearted, worshiping people who are being conformed into the image of Christ. It's the body of Christ. But there are also some people who are leading, who through whatever selfish motive have turned those people to serve him.
Mm.
And it's so easy to do. It's human nature. But what if we could raise up a whole generation of leaders who saw this army for who they are, the body of Christ that's been empowered to release light that dispels darkness, and they can empower this servant-hearted army This army who doesn't have any agenda but heaven's agenda. This army who's so intimate with the king that they understand heaven's preferences. That they understand in a moment the heart of God in a situation and can partner with the kingdom in that moment for that thing, whatever that is. That is the army that we need to see unleashed on the earth. And I think I just feel the Lord, his heart for this, that if we could raise up a generation of people or even find ones among the current leadership in the body of Christ who feel like there's more, there's a better way, but hasn't seen it modeled or hasn't got their grasp around it yet, that if we could see that turn where we begin to, and like you were mentioning from Ephesians, the foundation of the apostles and prophets actually get underneath, instead of top down, we actually get underneath this thing and lay our lives down underneath this thing and begin to push the body of Christ into the proper place, help them understand who they truly are. I think that we have a revolution at hand.
That's right. See, back to that Ephesians 2, it says that in the foundation of the household of God, this foundation is made up of apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Then when we think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Why are they given by Christ to the body for the equipping of the saints for their work of ministry? In other words, their work of servanthood, their work of serving. So when you talk about leadership, see, first your emphasis was serving the Lord, which is perfect. As our hearts are first turned towards serving the Lord and putting his preferences first, then a heart becomes, very naturally, we as leaders now, we're not on the top like Gentile leaders coming down hierarchically this way, but we come into the foundation coming down below. And now as we serve those that God has entrusted to us, we serve them by laying our life down, by putting our quote unquote ministry down, and we take a low place. We take a low place.
I actually heard Heidi Baker talking about this. Somebody asked her, what's the secret to your success in everything you're doing in your ministry? She said, I just get to the lowest place because that's where the river flows. Of course, in true Heidi fashion, you know, she would say something like that.
Of course.
I want to add a few more little comments here that kind of bookend everything and just kind of bring it back to practical. So we have a team in our ministry that kind of helps lead the ministry. And in that team, I've been intentional about creating some culture that contains some values and thoughts that kind of produce the kind of fruit we're looking for in the kingdom. And one of these things that we're going after is the issue of authority and leadership and even what we call the fivefold ministry or the fivefold graces that have been given as a gift to the body of Christ. So I am leading the ministry, but my leadership is to make sure that the Lord's ministry is protected. He stays Lord because I ensure it.
Praise the Lord.
You know? Yeah. And we say things like, this atmosphere is under the Lordship of Holy Spirit. Wow. And so that makes you accountable to every word that comes out of your mouth and everything that's done, because this is not a service or a meeting that's run on my own preference. This is Holy Spirit preference. We partner with him. Mm-hmm. So I lead that.
Right. And so what you just described is submitting to Christ. Because all the grace that you just described comes from Christ.
Yeah.
So it's a part of Christ's grace in that person. I love that Ephesians 4:11, in I believe it's Amplified, says it this way, that Christ gave gifts. He took of himself and gifted men and women. When we say man, we mean men and women. He gifted men and women and gave them as gifts to the body. Some apostles, some prophets. So what you just described is when you acknowledge the grace of the prophet, okay, then when we hear that, we submit to that. Well, what happens? When you submit to that, you're submitting to Christ.
That's right.
Because it's come from Christ. So in the very beginning of this whole podcast, you said authority comes as we submit.
Right.
We submit to Christ, the head, the king.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So what is a servant? They do nothing of their own accord, we've learned today, and they submit every part of themselves under the lordship of Jesus. This is the entry point of authority in the earth. This is the entry point of the kingdom in the earth, and so vital. And this, I want to stress again that this will work in any situation, whether you're leading in a church setting or you're leading in a business setting or ministry setting. You can even use this in your house.
Amen.
I mean, I've got a 9-year-old kid that will prophesy the socks off of you. And when he's operating in that, we honor him and we pull that gift out of him. And so this will work. This, I feel like, you know, kingdom does transcend just our Sunday morning kind of expression.
Yeah.
This is a thing that can transform any environment, changes the options for everyone when you begin to operate in it. Father, we thank you for it's just a spirit of wisdom and revelation around the idea of authority.
Yes, Lord.
Such a tough subject because it's been so abused. But today we just declare the heart of the Lord that authority in the kingdom is not for the subjugation of the bride of Christ. It is for the empowerment of people when its leaders begin to submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus and serve the ones who were born to change the world.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
So we just release over you that's listening a great grace to come upon you, to remove the shame, remove the timidity. And we say to you, be courageous.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Be courageous. Begin to step out with this understanding that as you are submitted to Christ, he then begins to work through you with authority. Authority that other people will recognize, but also an authority that begins to dispel darkness with light.
Hallelujah.
And so we say yes and amen to all the promises of God to you as you step out to lead the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.